Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com. Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and get a secure, transparent home loan approval in minutes. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The ongoing investigations of Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election season finally got a public airing yesterday when the heads of the FBI and the NSA spent 5.5 hours in front of the House Intelligence Committee on camera. There's so much we don't know, but the headline defies belief. This country's national security apparatus, its law enforcement, and its legislature investigating the circle of a sitting president for possibly colluding with Moscow to swing an American election. Wow. This hour On Point, James Comey and Admiral Michael Rogers say their piece. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Were you glued to the hearings yesterday? What do you think? What will we ultimately learn here? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here was the money quote, the bottom line from FBI Director James Comey.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts. As with any counterintelligence investigation, this will also include an assessment of whether any crimes were committed.
And here's Michael Rogers, head of the National the NSA director, describing active measures he said Russia took to influence the 2016 presidential election.
We saw cyber used. We saw the use of external media. We saw the use of disinformation. We saw the use of leaking of information, much of which was not altered. I mean, we saw several, if you will, common traits that we have both seen over time, as well as I would argue that the difference this time was the cyber dimension and the fact that the release of so much information that they had extracted via cyber is a primary tool to try to drive an outcome.
For Republicans, it was all about leaks. How was word of all this getting out into the media? Here is Republican Trey Gowdy of South Carolina grilling FBI Director James Comey.
So in the universe of possible motives for the felonious dissemination of classified material, we could rule out wanting to help the intelligence communities and the law enforcement communities. Those are two motives that are gone now. That leaves some more nefarious motives. Is the investigation into the leak of classified information, has it begun yet?
I can't say, because I don't want to confirm that that was classified information.
Five and a half hours of testimony on the Hill yesterday. Joining me first today to look at all of that is Warren Strobel, joins us from Washington, investigative reporter for Reuters, covering foreign policy, diplomacy, and national security. Warren Strobel, welcome to On Point.
Tom, thanks for having me on.
You've been paying a lot of attention to all this for a while now. What did you learn yesterday, Warren, that you didn't, or we didn't already know?
Well, Tom, I think it was one of those hearings where all the news happened in the first 20 or 30 minutes, and then it was another 5 hours of a lot of partisan posturing and no comments by the FBI director and the NSA director. But the headline was, as you said, that there is this investigation, a serious counterintelligence investigation underway into whether there was collusion between people in the Trump campaign and the Russians, and to what extent the Russians manipulated the U.S. election. Huge news. I have to, as huge news as that is, is we have to sort of caveat it by saying Director Comey did not say that the president is personally under investigation. He did not say that the name specific individuals who are under investigation. He didn't say, you know, we think we're going to press criminal charges. But with that as background, this is obviously a very serious matter that I think is going to hang over the president and his administration for months and months to come.
He did raise the possibility of criminal charges here. How does the FBI go about investigating something that happened last year, something with enormous potential ramifications for the United States already in the 2016 elections and potentially going forward if it's not figured out? How do they go back and try and recreate what happened here, and not just in a casual way, Warren, but in a way that, I mean, this is the FBI, that they would be building a potential legal criminal case against targets?
Yeah, Tom, that's what they do. They build legal cases, criminal cases, right? So I think Director James Comey is a little bit of a is going to be walking a tightrope here, because he wants to do and wants the FBI to do a very thorough investigation to make sure they've looked under every rock and read every transcript of every conversation, interviewed every witness. But on the other hand, there will be some pressure for him publicly from the Trump administration, but also maybe from Democrats to show what he's got, especially as time goes on and 3 months from now, if we haven't heard any more, everybody, including the press, is going to be asking, you know, what have you got? What have you got? So he's walking a little bit of a tightrope there. I thought it was unusual, and it was unusual, that he actually announced the investigation. As he himself said, the FBI normally does not do this. And I think it was a matter of such public interest that they decided that they were going to make that extraordinary statement.
Warren, you're an investigative journalist, though not a prosecutor. But give us some nitty-gritty here. I mean, how do they actually go about doing this? This would they go after a trail of digital communications? Would this be done with bringing people in and interrogating them? How do you pursue this kind of investigation?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Tom. And there's multiple ways. First of all, we have to remember that the investigation in some form or the other has been going on since, I think, late July or early August, since it first came to the U.S. government's attention that Russia was potentially trying to manipulate the election. And you had all these reports of Trump associates and people in Trump's inner and outer circle meeting with Russians, folks in Moscow. So they have been building a case, or at least gathering information, for almost 6 months now. What do you do then? You interview whoever you can. You try and flip them. I'm totally speculating here, but General Michael Flynn is under investigation. We know it's possible potentially that he might face charges related to his dealings with Russians and his lack of registration in the Foreign Agents Registration Act. You know, you try to flip somebody like that. I'm just putting Flynn out there as an example. You try and pressure them to give more information. You do the digital trail. You go back and do the computer forensics, go through all the computer information you have. You read transcripts of telephone calls that you have. The U.S. government collects so much information every day that they don't have time to, they have to prioritize it. They don't have time to read through it all. So they're going to go back and do that. I think those are the major elements of the investigation that I would imagine.
They talked about Trump associates yesterday, but who are we talking about here? I mean, these are not anonymous people exactly. We don't know, I suppose, we can't confirm who in particular they're looking at, but there are names that are out front there. Roger Stone, Carter Page. Introduce us to the circle that might be part of this group of interest, Warren.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, with a caveat up front that nobody has been named as a target and no charges have been filed. But Michael Flynn is one, because he had interactions with the Russian ambassador that he was not straight about. Some people believe they were discussing lifting the sanctions once Trump became president.
Yeah, but that was after the election. So that wasn't about swinging an election.
No, but you can kind of follow that trail back and see, you know, were there other interactions before the election. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly one name that is out there.
Former NSA director, now out, of course. But yeah, who else? What else?
Yeah, then you mentioned Paul Manafort, who the White House tried to, Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary yesterday, tried to say that Manafort didn't play much of a role in the campaign, but in fact he was the campaign manager for Trump's campaign for 5 months.
Yes.
he's going to be looked at both for his dealings with Russia, and also he's had a lot of dealings in Ukraine for on behalf of pro-Russian parties. And then Carter Page is the other person who was a senior national security advisor to Trump during the campaign, spent a lot of time in Moscow, has business in Moscow, and had a lot of interactions with Russians. And then finally, Roger Stone, who your listeners may know is a dirty trickster going back to Nixon days, and he has said or at least intimated that he was in touch both with Julian Assange and a hacker named Guccifer II, who in each of those two outlets was responsible for publishing some of the hacked materials from the DNC and elsewhere. So those are the people that come to mind.
Warren, yesterday, Director Comey declined to answer whether the FBI has evidence of collusion between the Trump camp and Russia. But we've seen others who have said they haven't seen such evidence. James Clapper, former Obama Director of National Intelligence. Michael Morell, former acting CIA Director under President Obama. Devin Nunes himself, Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, have all said that they've seen no such evidence. Now, he didn't say yesterday that he had. Does them saying they haven't seen it mean it's not there? Does him refusing to comment on it mean it's not there? How do you interpret all that?
I mean, I interpret Comey's no comment as that he believes it's an open question. And as you said at the outset of the show, Tom, he specifically said that is part of his investigation. What Clapper said some months ago, I can't remember, frankly, if this was after he had left or just as he was leaving the Obama administration. He said, I've seen no evidence thus far of collusion with Russia by the Trump campaign, but that may have, further information may have come out since I left office. So I guess that quote was after he had left office. Nunes, has a somewhat partisan view of this, I think. And you look at the Democratic side where Adam Schiff opened his statement in the hearing with a charge sheet of, he went on for 10 minutes about all the links, all the suspicions, all the coincidences. So certainly on the Democratic side, there's a lot of concern that there might be collusion here.
Where do you see the sharp edge of inquiry going forward? Is it the FBI? Is it this House Intelligence Committee? The Senate? Who's really going to ferret this out? Some Democrats and others are calling for an independent commission to look at this. Where do you see the edge as things are currently structured?
Very good question. So I think you're right. The Democrats are calling for either a special prosecutor or independent panel, whatever you want to call it. My hunch is that at this point, that's not going to happen because the majority of Republicans are against it. However, if in the next 3, 4, 6 weeks, there's another major revelation that would point to further evidence of collusion or of Russian manipulating the campaign, I think that could sort of break the dam and the Republicans would have to put up their hands and say, okay, we need a special prosecutor. We need an independent panel here. But as I said, right now, I don't think that's going to happen. You do have both the House and Senate Intelligence Committees pursuing their own investigation. I believe the Senate Judiciary Committee is as well. But I think most of the power now rests in the hands of the FBI because they have subpoena power. They have the power of law enforcement. They have the resources. And it's going to be interesting to see if there's a continued or increased friction between the FBI and the Trump White House as the investigation continues.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the FBI chief before the House Intelligence Committee and what we have learned on Russia and the president, his circle. You can join us this hour. Can you believe the FBI is investigating whether the president of the United States, Donald Trump, his team, colluded with Russia to swing the American election? Is that a headline you thought you would ever read? And what did you think of FBI Chief Comey's testimony yesterday, of Mike Rogers, director of the NSA? Were you surprised to hear the FBI chief flatly dismiss the president's wiretapping claims, charges against former President Barack Obama? Warren Strobel is with us from Reuters, investigative reporter there. Jane Harmon, Gary Schmidt join us in just a second here. Here was California's Adam Schiff, ranking Democrat on the committee yesterday, laying out possible implications of the Trump administration's or camp's unusual relationship with the Russian government.
Many of the Trump's campaign personnel, including the president himself, have ties to Russia and Russian interests. This is, of course, no crime. On the other hand, if the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it aided or abetted the Russians, it would not only be a serious crime, It would also represent one of the most shocking betrayals of democracy in history.
A story being told there. We'll wait to see whether all the blanks are filled in. Republicans, again, here's Trey Gowdy, Republican South Carolina, very focused on who's been leaking about all this. Not as much on the possibility of collusion or interference itself, but who's been leaking? Who's been talking about it? Here was Trey Gowdy saying all that's a crime.
Motive behind that interference and influence, incredibly important. Our U.S. response, incredibly important. Some of that may rise to the level of a crime. Some of it does not rise to the level of crime. One thing you and I agree on is the felonious dissemination of classified material most definitely is a crime.
And the net effect here, the committee chairman, Devin Nunes, California Republican, telling FBI Director Comey the committee has still seen no evidence that the Trump camp colluded with Russia, and that the FBI must share any evidence it finds, if necessary, behind closed doors. There's a big gray cloud hanging over things in Washington right now, he said.
If you can't give it to the entire committee, I hope you can at least give it to myself and Mr. Schiff, because you know there is a big gray cloud that you've now put over people who have very important work to do to lead this country. And so the faster you can get to the bottom of this, it's going to be better for all Americans.
Warren Strobel of Reuters is with us. Jane Harmon joins us as well right now, Director, President, CEO of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, former Democratic congresswoman from California, served 8 years on the House Intelligence Committee, was right in the middle of looking into the 9/11 attacks. She knows how all this works. Jane Harmon, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
And with us from Alexandria, Virginia, Gary Schmidt. He's co-director of the Maryland Ware Center for Security Studies, American Enterprise Institute, worked for President Ronald Reagan as executive director of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, was staff director of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He knows these highways and byways as well. Gary Schmidt, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Jane Harmon, what did you think of yesterday's hearing as a public start to this inquiry?
Well, the whole world is watching, Tom. I now head the Wilson Center after 9 terms in Congress, where I had Adam Schiff's job, a while back. I know from our work that our credibility is on the line here. This isn't just about Donald Trump. It isn't just about the people in his campaign. It certainly isn't just about the Senate and House Intelligence Committees. But people are looking at the United States of America and wondering whether we can function as a democracy. So let's put that as a context. In that context, I actually thought the actors on all sides performed quite well. I think that Comey's testimony was extremely careful, as it should have been. Mm-hmm. I think, as you have mentioned, that Adam Schiff's opening statement and his theory of the case, the facts of the case, were presented very carefully. He didn't exaggerate in any way. And I also think that Trey Gowdy and others, talking about leaks, which are bad, made valid claims. Now what has to happen is these institutions of government, the Congress and the Justice Department, have to function. And the Congress, I have seen the Congress function well after 9/11 on a bipartisan basis. I was there in the chairs. I was a principal author of the reforms we did. We can do this. And I think the world is waiting to see if we will do this.
Just mechanically, and I guess politically as well, do you think the House Intelligence Committee, the one you know best, has the structure, the will to see an inquiry like this through to the end, whatever that might be?
Well, Adam Schiff pointed out that it's a tiny little place with a small number of members and staff compared to the Justice Department, which has, you know, legions of workers. And so in that sense, it may not have adequate heft to do everything. But yes, it can function on a bipartisan basis. It does have subpoena power. And if, and this is a big if, the chairman and ranking member and members can work together, it can do an important amount of oversight work, which is, after all, its charge.
Gary Schmidt, you know the intelligence world. You know how Capitol Hill works when it looks into intelligence. What do you think about the narrative that has emerged here? I mean, more than a narrative, but of first of all, Russian interference, and secondly, collusion. Do these look like credible charges, concerns to you?
I mean, they're sufficiently enough, as Congressman Schiff pointed out, there's enough smoke there that it's absolutely essential that the Bureau investigate and get to the bottom of this. And as Congressman Harmon said, until there's a kind of final resolution of this, it's very hard for particularly the White House to do its job effectively. Having served both in the Senate and in the White House, I know when a crisis like this happens, an investigation like this happens, and vis-a-vis the White House, what happens is 90% of your time is spent responding to the daily headlines, and the result is that the real work of government gets postponed or put aside. So it's absolutely essential that these charges be looked at and then also be looked at thoroughly, but also be looked at as quickly as possible.
I mean, Jane Harman, what would happen if they did come out with either a committee finding or FBI charges against Trump associates of collusion? What happens then? I mean, do we somehow go back and look at the election again? Or is it just a purely an individual issue with those individuals charged or found out?
Well, I think it's pretty speculative to think about what could come out at the end.
Why? We have the FBI director saying that there is an ongoing investigation that
yes,
he will
I
pursue.
Know.
So it doesn't seem speculative.
It's speculative to yes, they're investigating it. That's a hard fact, and it's good to have some hard facts on the table. But where the investigation will lead is not known yet, and whether people will be judged to have committed crimes is not known yet.
Of course.
I don't think we're going to roll back the last election. I don't think that happens. There, Adam Schiff said in his opening remarks, and most people think, that measuring the impact of Russian meddling, and that did happen, that's another hard fact, on this election is probably impossible. But if people in the Trump campaign or the Trump organization were colluding with the Russians in violation of law, and these are serious allegations, then those people could easily be subject to prosecution if. And also, by the way, if people are proved to have leaked classified information, those people could be subject to prosecution. So we've got, you know, a lot of damage to go around here. But I think speculating on who's guilty right now is a mistake.
No, I don't mean speculating on who's guilty. But when you have an investigation, that raises the possibility of charges. And this is not a light matter. These are close associates of the President of the United States.
That's correct. And it is American credibility on the line here. It's not just about the individuals, but it is the whole smell of this in the world. And, oh, by the way, just in case I forget to mention this, the announcement, I guess, yesterday or early this morning that Rex Tillerson is not going to the NATO meeting but is going to meet with the Russians seems to me to be kind of off message in the middle of this.
Well, is it off message or right on? I mean, the allegation here is Russian influence, and now instead of going to our traditional allies in NATO, he's saying I'll skip that and go talk with Vladimir Putin next month.
Well, off message if the claims of the White House that they didn't do any of this stuff are to be credible.
Gary Schmidt, in terms of no ability. Does this look like something that the FBI can track down? If there was collusion, does it look like a solvable puzzle to you?
Yes and no. I mean, these kinds of, if it's, you know, the kind of collusion that usually takes place is a kind of a collusion, I mean, that people obviously want to keep secret, and also they tend to hide their trail, so it can be a difficult investigative effort. I mean, one of the most striking things about this whole issue is the degree to which how open people have been about things. I mean, it's not as though the Russian hacking effort was a very sophisticated effort. It was tracked back to them pretty easily. It's as though the Russians wanted to show that they could, in fact, interfere with the election. And then you have others like Roger Stone, who, you know, frankly, people, you know, in this town in Washington and the politics in general know to be somewhat of a blowhard. So, you know, if he was trying to do something untoward, he certainly went about it in the most ham-handed way. So there's a lot of, you know, I think Congressman Schiff did a good job of laying out where, you know, some of the trails need to be followed. On the other hand, they're so obvious that one does have to wonder about how much, you know, sort of really secret, underhanded collusion was really going on.
I mean, Warren Strobel, a lot of the, I mean, some of this was not secret at all. And I don't know how to characterize it, but you had Donald Trump himself last summer standing in front of tons of reporters calling on Moscow to go on and, you know, get more out there. He said the press would welcome. Remember that, Warren? He stood before the whole country, before the world, and kind of called on Moscow to get more of this stuff, dirty laundry of the Democrats out of the public.
Absolutely. That was in one of the presidential debates, I believe. You also had Carter Page and others making public statements about pro-Russian statements and so forth. I guess what strikes me here is, yes, the Russians, it's almost clear, and Comey said this yesterday, the Russians wanted us to know that they were messing about in our election, that they had the power to do that. There's something called doxing, where you hack documents and release them. Mm-hmm. Often you're doing hacks and you're not releasing documents. You don't want the other side to know that you've gotten in. They deliberately let us know that they had been able to get into the system. But now it sort of strikes me, and this is a little bit away from the top of the show, but I wonder if the Russians are sort of having second thoughts about what they've unleashed here, because now their role is known and being debated in the United States. And I think there was some debate within the Kremlin I've read about how far they should push this last summer. They obviously pushed it a long way, and now they're dealing with the blowback too.
Well, on the other hand, it's a kind of muscle flexing of a new variety. We're looking at yesterday's hearings and where all this investigation goes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Jane Harmon is here, Gary Schmidt, Warren Strobel. Charlie's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Charlie, you're on the air. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. It's nice to talk with you again. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly encouraged that the FBI is looking into malfeasance during the election, but I don't want the FBI to limit itself only to questions about interference by the Russians in the election. I think, you and I have talked about this before, but I believe that Donald Trump is completely, totally financially dependent on the Russians. I believe that Russian money is what keeps Donald Trump afloat. There was a story that moved over the weekend about how many Russian oligarchs are investing in Trump properties in Florida, and I believe that that is the reason that Trump even is... It can call himself a billionaire. I don't think he is a billionaire.
Charlie, let us pick it up right there. Gene Harmon, does that kind of, there's been a lot written about this, does that even come right into the purview of an FBI investigation here, or is there a wall there somewhere?
Well, I don't think it's in this investigation. That doesn't mean it couldn't be a different investigation. And the financial ties and all of that is more in the sweet spot of the Treasury Department. But nonetheless, that's why many people are calling on President Trump to release his tax returns, because that would give more information about where the money to his enterprises came from, although obviously there could be layers of companies and shell companies, which would make it tricky to figure this out. But I'm not saying it's true, but I'm certainly saying the rumors are out there. If I could just add one other thing, I don't agree that the Russian interference is ham-handed. I mean, some of it is, but I think the Russians are very sophisticated, and we learn about this at our peril. They were using cutouts. Comey said this yesterday. As early as last summer, those are independent people who supposedly couldn't be tracked, except we tracked them, to disseminate the information to WikiLeaks and elsewhere. And that is very sophisticated. And the other point about this is they were and are meddling in European elections, and we need to keep our eye on that. Angela Merkel is going to have a very tough re-election. There's an election in France. Mm-hmm. And if Russia determines or helps to determine using cyber, external media leaking and disinformation, the results of those elections, we again have a vital interest in preventing that.
Mike in Nashville, Tennessee. Mike, you're on the air with Jane Harmon, Gary Schmidt, Warren Strobel. Hi, Mike.
Thanks, Tom. First of all, one comment. Your last caller, in my opinion, is delusional. But going on to my subject,
okay.
We've created this ambiguous fear of the Russians. I'd like to know, what is there to be afraid of? Hillary Clinton, when she was a new Secretary of State, was going to have a giant reset with the Russians, and everything was going to be great going forward. Now they're not in power, and you know, now there's something to fear. I'll hang up and listen to the comment.
Mike, appreciate your call. Jane, respond.
My response, that's an interesting question. And I certainly, we have the Kennan Institute at the Wilson Center, which does a lot of work on understanding Putin and Russian history. And certainly Putin has a case that America has treated him poorly over the last two decades. There's a long piece in The New Yorker that's very illuminating. Mm. But my point is that we should be talking to Russia. We should be condemning things that they are doing, like annexing Crimea and their excursions into East Ukraine. But if we can work with them, and there's a good case that we can work with them on developing this new ocean in the Arctic, which could be the major sea lane between Asia and Europe, we should work with them.
But Gary Schmidt, I mean, some of this is astonishing to me. You worked for Ronald Reagan. Can you imagine in that time if we had a suggestion or an FBI investigation of Russia meddling in the U.S. presidential election that a substantial number of Republicans or Americans would say, what's the big deal?
Well, I actually don't think Americans are saying it's what's the big deal.
You just heard Mike in Nashville saying, what is there to fear here?
I know, but whether he represents, you know, public opinion writ large is a different question. I mean, I think the truth is the public is taken with this issue, and I think that's reflected in the fact how serious you're seeing the investigations both in the Senate and in the House. I mean, if the public wasn't interested in this topic and it wasn't as sensitive as it is, I don't think you'd see this sort of cooperation between both sides of the aisle in those two committees the way you have recently. So I actually don't buy it that it's not being thought of as a serious matter.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interests in mind. With Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence you need to make an informed decision. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Hi, it's Tom. I'm glad you're listening to this On Point podcast. Really happy to have you here. You know, a lot of people barely know podcasts exist. They've never listened to one. Here at On Point, we want to change that. All this month, we're inviting our listeners to tell a friend about a podcast they love. Do it in real life or on social media, and make sure you let us know what you're recommending. Tell us using the hashtag TryPod. That's hashtag TryPod. And thanks. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the FBI chief and the head of the NSA before the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, and what we have learned on Russia, the president, leaks about the whole story. Jane Harmon is with us. She served 8 years on the House Intelligence Committee, right in the thick of exactly this kind of work in other circumstances. Gary Schmidt is with us, former staff director of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He was executive director of the president's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board during Ronald Reagan's second term. He's now at the Marilyn Ware Center, the American Enterprise Institute. Jane Harmon is head of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Warren Strobel is with us, investigative reporter for Reuters, has been all over this. You can join us. Are you confident we're going to know the truth here, that this committee, the FBI, will get to the bottom of it? Where does this go? Certain point yesterday, Director Comey responded to a question from the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, saying in effect that the president and his spokespeople have no facts to support the president's recent wiretapping allegation.
Director Comey, was the president's statement that Obama had his wires tapped in Trump Tower a true statement?
With respect to the president's tweets about alleged wiretapping directed at him by the prior administration, I have no information that supports those tweets, and we have looked carefully inside the FBI. The Department of Justice has asked me to share with you that the answer is the same for the Department of Justice and all its components. The department has no information that supports those tweets.
Pretty flat rejection of that assertion by the president of the United States, by the head of the FBI. And even while the hearings were going on, or yesterday, the president was tweeting, saying that there was the NSA and FBI were telling Congress that Russia didn't influence the electoral process. Here is Senator, Congressman James Himes, Democrat of Connecticut, asking Director Comey to react to the president's tweet. Comey was caught off guard, but said in a lawyerly way that his agency had not addressed that question.
This tweet has gone out to millions of Americans, 16.1 million to be exact. Is the tweet, as I read it to you, the NSA and FBI tell Congress that Russia did not influence the electoral process. Is that accurate?
Well, it's hard for me to react to that. Let me just tell you what we understand the state of what we've said is. We've offered no opinion, have no view, have no information on potential impact because it's never something that we looked at.
Okay. Jane Harmon, what does it mean when in the midst of this you've got the president making his own analysis, the NSA and FBI tell Congress that Russia did not influence the electoral process, and the FBI director kind of agog at that?
I think we'll never know that truth. There were lots of things that affected this election, and it's not worth listing them here, but some of them had nothing to do whatsoever with Russia, although Russia amplified a lot of the mistakes the Clinton campaign made, and obviously through cutouts, we know now, disseminated information to WikiLeaks at the most damaging times. So, yes, but how many votes did that control? Was that the, you know, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan a margin? I don't think we will know that. But what we will know, and I think we will know it, is whether crimes were committed by people in the Trump organization, Trump campaign, and hopefully whether who the leakers were. And I think both inquiries are valid. And leaking is bad. And I've seen it over and over in Washington. Leaking of classified information gets people killed. And so we have to take that seriously. But it is not okay. And the world is watching to say, oh, gee, maybe something happened with respect to people in the Trump campaign. But we'll brush that over and just focus on leakers.
Gary Schmidt, do you take the leaks that have been evident here as evidence that the intelligence community is going after Donald Trump?
Well, he certainly went out of his way after he was elected, in between the time of the election and the actual inauguration mm-hmm. day, to pick a fight with the intelligence community in a variety of different ways. And, you know, having, you know, again, the experience as the staff director on the Intel Committee and then in the White House, I can tell you that when you pick fights with the intelligence community, they're not likely to simply take it. And so the possibility that they would leak to, you know, challenge him or challenge one of his senior officials who also was somebody that was at odds with the larger intelligence community is possible. I would also say that, just to be fair, that it's not simply the intelligence community, no matter how small the number, that would have had access to the Flynn conversations with the Russian ambassador. There were also people in the Department of Justice during the Obama last days, and also in the White House that had access to that information. So while I don't think it's implausible that the intelligence community was leaking, it's also possible that it was somebody inside the senior ranks of the Obama White House or Justice Department.
Jane Harmon, they won't just take it, the intelligence community, if you rough them up. Does that give credibility to Steve Bannon's assertion there's a deep state here that needs, winkling out?
Absolutely not. There is no deep state in the United States of America. There have been deep states in some other places like Turkey, which is where the term originated. There are leaks that are illegal in the United States and always have been. There is a free press, which has every right to pursue as the fourth branch of government what's happening. But in this case, I am hoping that we will find out whether crimes were committed and we will find out where the leaks came from. I think both are valid inquiries, but just doing leaks, it seems to me, is wrongheaded, and I don't think the American people will stand for it.
Dolores in Waterford, Pennsylvania. Dolores, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi to your guests. It seems that Trump has replaced John Gotti as a new Teflon Don. Okay. Your program yesterday revealed, you know, his business dealings with some of the most corrupt and nefarious governments on the planet. Back in 2008, Donald Trump Jr. said, in terms of high-end product influx into the U.S., Russians make up a pretty disproportionate cross-section of a lot of their assets.
So what, Dolores? So what? We're talking about whether Russia influenced the election here.
This is the—I mean, Tom, there are so many, incidents here that tied the Trumps to the Russians. I mean, how is it that the big four, Manafort and Page and Flynn and Stone, wind up in the Trump campaign? To me, this is like it's a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle, and maybe we now have 497 or 498 pieces, but there's still that one piece that is missing.
But you can kind of see, you think you can see the picture already. Dolores, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Let me get one more. Matt in Providence, Rhode Island. Thank you, Dolores. Matt, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah?
I'd like to repeat some of Dolores' concerns. Watching this election, there's just, I'm very happy the investigation is going forward. I just think there's been way too much smoke for there not to be any kind of fire. But my comment is, you know, during the hearing yesterday, we had the president, you know, denying all these claims, and then we had him fact-checked in real time, frankly. So, you know, at what point can journalists, because I know it's a line to cross for you guys to call him a liar, but, I mean, if it looks like a duck and lies like a duck, you know. So I'm just wondering, when is enough enough? When can journalists really, you know?
Yeah, Warren Strobel, let's pick that up. When the president tweets in the midst of these hearings that the NSA and FBI tell Congress that Russia did not influence the electoral process, what is that?
Let me make two quick points to go to each of the caller's questions.
Yep.
On the question about how do we characterize that, we've had a lot of debates internally at Reuters about exactly that question when you tweet something that has no support, and I'm sure other journalistic organizations have as well. The term liar or lied is a very charged word. We, for now, are saying things like unverified claims, unsubstantiated claims, claims without evidence, repeated claims without evidence, that formulation. You can argue that round or flat, but that's what we've done. Secondly, on the Russian money piece, quick pitch for Reuters here. We were the ones that published an article that was referenced by an earlier caller about a lot of Russian money going to buy Trump condos in South Florida. Yeah. The caller said, you know, we have 497 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. I think we have about 37 pieces of the jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to look at, but nothing's been proven in terms of hard Russian money influencing Trump or his policies, at least as of today.
Tony in Macomb, Michigan. Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Three quick points. First of all, where was the deep investigation into the Clinton Foundation and all the money that they got into that? And where has that money gone to? Are they just in their pockets now? Second thing, what about the influence that the Obama administration tried to put on the Israeli elections when Bibi Netanyahu was being elected? And third, I could care less about Trump's tax records. I mean, he's a multi-billionaire, so I just don't care. And I don't know anybody, I don't talk to anybody that cares about it.
What if Russia got into our election? Does that matter to you? I mean, that's what was on the table yesterday, Tony. Does that matter to you?
I missed your question. I'm sorry.
What if Russia, I mean, you know, we've got our intelligence community saying Russia interfered in our presidential election. Does that matter? And what if people in the Trump camp colluded with Russia in doing that? Do those things matter to you?
Well, it would if that was true, but I think it's just like stuff that you guys are pushing. I really do. I don't. They didn't come into Macomb Township here and get into our voting machines.
No, and everybody's very clear on that. Everyone's very clear on that. But there's lots of ways to get into an election, and you say pushing, but what's our job here? If a foreign government that's not a democracy, anything like we aspire to, gets in the midst of our presidential election, as an American, doesn't that make you want to stand up and holler a little bit?
Yeah, but I've been hollering for 8 years when you guys just let everything Obama did just go by the wayside because it was Obama.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it goes both ways, guys.
Listen, I'm all for that, and there was a lot of talk about many, many steps that were taken during the Obama administration. Clinton Foundation, we talked about that money plenty right here. But anyway, I appreciate your call very much, Tony. I mean, Jane, you know, there's this interesting kind of bifurcated view of the world here. I mean, even in the hearings yesterday, Republicans all about the leaks, Democrats all about the Russian interference and collusion. Among our callers, you know, outraged over a puzzle that they feel like they can see already, and it's, you know, Trump must go or whatever. And on the other hand, forget about it. Let's just move forward.
As head of the nonpartisan Wilson Center, great relief, I try to see this from both sides. That's what I've been commenting on. Yeah. I think there is a valid investigation, as Comey said, into Russian attempts to interfere in the election, including any links to the Trump campaign. There's also a valid investigation into who may have leaked classified information, which is a crime. But let's put this in a context. The world is watching America. This is not just about Donald Trump, but about America's credibility. And all our institutions are under challenge. Our courts, the executive branch, our Congress, and our political parties. And it's time, past time, to work together in the interests of America and make our country as strong as it can be. I don't want to repeat Donald Trump's campaign statement, but this is about America's respect from the world and our role in the world as a beacon of democracy.
Dave in Picayune, Mississippi. Dave, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Just a couple of quickies. To my thinking, and I've never heard anyone raise this question, even if the Russians tried to fiddle with our election, whether they're successful or not, to me, that's an act of war, period. And I've never heard anybody suggest that. Another issue, when we started getting close to Trump's collusion with the Russians a couple of weeks ago, if you go to his playbook, he'll throw something up against a wall and see if it sticks. So he says, let's just say that Obama tapped my phones. That totally distracted that Russian investigation at the time. And that's right out of his playbook, how to make a deal. So that's all I wanted to say. I'd like to hear anybody else's opinion about whether this is could be considered an act of war.
Dave, thanks. I appreciate your call. Gary Schmidt, I mean, there's already been the assertion out there that Russians did meddle. What does that amount to, and what's the right response?
It should be proportional, and we should care quite a bit about it, or it should be an essential concern of ours. It's not an act of war. I mean, there's not a moral equivalence here, but we've interfered with elections abroad when we thought it was in both our interests and our allies' interest. So it's part of the international game, which I don't mean game in the kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Simple throwaway line,
yep.
But it is part of international statecraft. But having said that, we are the world's leader and the world's greatest democracy, and so we have to be able to protect, and the world has to see us being able to protect our own system. So it's something that's essential to investigate and get to the bottom of. I just want to go... There has been sort of repeated things that Donald Trump's been able to say and do things that it continued to sort of, he gets away with. If you look at the public opinion polling, it's not clear that the president hasn't begun to suffer in the public's mind for what he said and possibly what people around him have done. So, at the immediate point in time, it looks like he's gained away with things, but over time, there's kind of a drip, drip, drip away from public support for that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
Jane, you've said a few times the world is watching, and I want to be, we just got a minute here, but exactly what's on the line if the world is watching, to your view? What's at stake?
Well, I think America's credibility is on the line, and it's not just Donald Trump's credibility. Our institutions of government really have to work here. On the question of act of war, John McCain has called this an act of war. What's different here from what the U.S. does and other countries do to each other is this was an aggressive plan not just to steal the secrets, but then to disseminate them using cutouts and very sophisticated third parties to hide Russian involvement. That's different. We have responded. I think our response could be more robust, but I also think that we need to keep channels open to Russia and work with Russia where we can. Why? Because the goal in the end is, it seems to me, to protect America's interests, not to in any way contribute to another world catastrophe.
Warren Strobel, our time is very short. You're the investigative reporter. At the end of all this, do you think we're going to know exactly who did what in the 2016 elections?
I think we will know 90%, 90, 95%, yes, of what happened.
Well, that's something to look forward to, I guess. It's good or bad, it's good to know, to understand. Warren Strobel, investigative reporter with Reuters. Terrific to have you with us today, Warren. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Gary Schmidt at the American Enterprise Institute. Gary, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And Jane Harman, longtime Democratic congresswoman from California, now director of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Congresswoman Harman, thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. This is On Point. ¶¶